reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke is one of the books in the Bible. And Luke wrote about the life of Jesus. So if you open up there, and we'll read from there. Okay. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Well, good morning again. My name's Ali. I'm part of the ministry team here at Women's Church. So let me add my welcome to Anne. We're really excited that you're here. I know there's a few people who are here for the first time who received pamphlets in their letterbox over the last couple of weeks, or perhaps you've come with a friend. Let me say we're really excited that you're here this morning. And we hope that you're as keen as the rest of us are to find out what women really need. If you've got little bubs with you, and they start getting a little hysterical and that worries you or panics you, we've got a cry room just through here. If you're a bit embarrassed coming to the front, well, you can access it just around the side here, and the sound is being channeled through to there as well. So please feel free to make use of that, but don't feel that you have to rush out at the first hint of upset. But if you can keep these with you and open, we'll have a look at them throughout our time together this morning. Now, I've asked you along here today to have a bit of a think about what women really need. And as a group of women, we all have needs. So essentially, we should be experts in addressing this issue. I'm sure we've spent a lot of time over the years thinking about what it is that we really need, working out what will make us happier, perhaps what will make life easier. What you need to make your life better, what it is that will satisfy you. What do you really need? Take a moment, just have a think about that right now. What is it that you find yourself thinking, if only? Just take a moment and think about that. Some people might be searching in their minds, others might have a list they're just running through, working out what's at the top. I wonder what it is that you're thinking. Are you thinking, "I just need a better job? That would make life easier." Perhaps you're thinking, "If I just had a husband, or a better husband, or a more loving husband." Or you're thinking, "If I could just have a child, that's what I need. Or if I could have another child." Or some days you might be thinking, "If I just had less children, that's what I need." Or perhaps it's a bigger house, or even just 20 minutes of peace and quiet to yourself every day. I know lots of women who think if they had that, their life would be much better. But needs are a funny thing. They can be hard to pin down sometimes. And, you know, I've always found that as soon as I get something that I need, I find myself really needing something else then instead. In primary school, my greatest need, as far as I can recall, was to have a Cabbage Patch doll. Who here had Cabbage Patch dolls? There's a few people there. Good to see you're in good company. In high school, what I really needed was the right clothes. Now, saying that, I have to say, I was at high school throughout the 80s, and no one needs that much Lycra and sequins. But at the time, that was what I thought I needed. And after uni, I needed the right job, or a better job, or a more interesting job, and the list goes on and on. I find I'm never satisfied. So we know we need something, but it can be hard to kind of grasp onto. What is it that we need? The world would have me believe all sorts of odd things. Apparently I need help to fight the 7 signs of ageing, whatever they are. But let's face it, it's a battle I can't win. I've been ageing since the day I was born. I'm not going to suddenly stop by buying a cream. There's an ad on TV at the moment that has a jingle that goes, "What you need today Does anyone know what that ad is? I was trying to remember last night. I can't think what it is. No one remembers? Health insurance, something like that? We probably don't need it that much, do we, if we can't even remember what it is that we need today. Well, working out what we really need is hard. But, you know, I found one person that I think is worth listening to when it comes to finding out what we really need. And that person is Jesus. And I'm wondering this morning if you might find him worth listening to as well. We're going to have a look at what Jesus has to say to answer this, what women really need. And you can decide for yourself what you think about what Jesus says. Luana's read to us from the Bible, and it's a true story from the Bible, but let me give you a bit of background to it. If you have it open, that'll help you out. Jesus is travelling around at this time, and crowds are continuing to gather to hear him speak wherever he goes. Word spreads pretty quickly about him, and many people are keen to meet him and open up their home to him and his followers, or his disciples, I think the passage calls them. And we see in this first sentence that Martha is one of these people. Now, Martha lives with her sister Mary, and these two women both welcome Jesus into their home, but they respond in quite different ways to Jesus. And I thought it might be helpful to have a look at them separately. First, let's look at Martha's response. Now, Martha seems to realise just how important Jesus really is. She gets busy making sure everything is just perfect for him. Now, this seems to me like a perfectly natural and a good thing to do. If someone important were to come to my house, I would make sure that my house was clean, which I can see my mother laughing at that because my house is rarely clean, but I would make sure that my house was clean. I'd make sure I had good food in for them to eat. I'd want them to be comfortable. You know, we go to this kind of effort when we have friends over for a meal, don't we? We cook something a bit more special than perhaps we normally would. Or perhaps you get out that good, you know, the china that you got for the wedding present that you're worried the kids will scratch and break. Well, you bring that out for the special occasions. Because you want people at the end of the night when they leave your home to say, I think we had a good night with them at their house. Now, while Martha is working hard, Mary is being just plain lazy. You'd think she'd realise how important Jesus is, and she'd get up off her backside and help out her sister. So eventually Martha gets fed up and she asks Jesus to tell Mary to help her. After all, Jesus himself must be thinking, good old Martha, getting everything ready for me. Mary, she's just rude. In fact, Martha's even a bit annoyed at Jesus that he hasn't already told Mary to help her. She says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And when I read this, I think, fair enough. Mary should be helping. But the puzzling thing is here that Jesus doesn't seem to think the same thing. In fact, Jesus thinks Mary is doing the better thing. Now, this seems a little odd to me. So let's have a look at Mary's response and see if we can work out why. In the second sentence, we read that Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Now, Mary's not been worried with running around and doing things to please or impress Jesus. Rather, she has sat down at his feet and she is focused on taking in everything that he is saying to them. Martha, we read, is distracted by all the preparations, but Mary is sitting and listening. And in the final sentence down at the bottom, we see why Mary's response is better. Martha, Martha, Jesus says, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. See, Jesus isn't impressed with Martha's rushing around. He's not advocating dirty houses or saying that Martha's doing the wrong thing for wanting to get the dinner ready or for looking after your guests. But all of this running around has distracted her from the one thing that she really needs, that is, to listen to Jesus. Well, this passage doesn't record for us exactly what Jesus was saying to Mary at that time, but we know from the previous 9 chapters of Luke's account of Jesus' life what he was telling people. He was telling people that there is only one thing that they really need, and that is to get right with God.
And Jesus says he is the only way to do this. You see, the Bible tells us that everyone has rejected God. We're all in the same position. We've all said to God, I'm going to run my life my own way. God, get lost. See, God made this world. He made everything in it, including us. And as the rightful ruler of this world, he knows how this world best works. As the one who made us, he knows how we best work. But we think we know better than God. So we say, God, get lost. I can do fine on my own. We think we know what we really need. But I'm not sure we do. Now, some people may make a definite decision to just turn their back on God. But I think for most of us, we don't deliberately shut him out. You know, there's no animosity or anger toward God. We just don't think about God at all. We just kind of get on with life as though God isn't even there. But whether we deliberately shut God out or we're just kind of indifferent to him, we just kind of ignore him, the result's the same. All of us have rejected him. And friends, this has serious consequences. And Luana spoke about these a little bit when we asked her earlier about her relationship with God. You see, the Bible tells us we deserve death. If God is the creator of life, then it makes sense, doesn't it, that rejection of him will lead to death. Not just the physical death that we'll all experience, but the Bible talks about a spiritual death. It talks about a separation from God's love forever and instead sitting under God's anger forever, like we rightly deserve for rejecting him. And here's the problem. You see, there's nothing we can do to fix this. There is nothing we can do to somehow impress God or to make up for our rejection of him, for our ignoring him. Now, this message certainly didn't make Jesus popular with the religious leaders of that day. See, they thought they needed to do stuff to get right with God. They needed to sacrifice an animal, take some crops or some money and give it to the temple, starve themselves for one day a week, be nice and kind to other people. And you can imagine how unhappy they were when Jesus rocks up and tells them that none of these things will fix their relationship with God, that none of them can be good enough. Well, there's nothing that they can do, no matter how many animals they sacrifice or how many good things they do, that can make them right with God. And, you know, things haven't changed that much today either. Many of us are still trying to impress God on our own strengths. If I'm a good person and I do no harm, surely God will let me into heaven, won't he? If I go to church and pray sometimes and I'm kind to people, surely God will see what a good person I am, won't he? Friends, let me say today that if you think you can somehow be good enough for God, or that you somehow deserve his love, then the Bible says you are terribly, terribly mistaken. There is nothing that we can do to patch things up with God. Getting right with God, being forgiven by God for rejecting him, is not about doing things or trying to impress him. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the solution to our problem. In fact, Jesus is the only solution to our problem. Now, it's a message people don't like to hear much these days. Now, people get a bit offended, don't they, when we say Jesus is the only way to get to know God. But Jesus says this himself. In an account of his life by another follower, a guy named John, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, such is the amazing love of God for us, that though we've turned our backs on him, he has not turned his back on us. In his love for us, God sent his son Jesus into the world. In his love for us, Jesus died the death we deserved on that blood-soaked wooden cross. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve for telling God to get lost, so that through him we can be forgiven by God. And even more than that, he has defeated that eternal spiritual death for us forever when he rose himself from the grave. In his love for us, we can now come into a perfect and wonderful relationship with God. We don't need to try to make things up to God. We don't need to try and patch things up on our own. We need to rely on Jesus alone. Now, the Bible calls this grace. You know, it's getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve to be forgiven by God, but he gives it to us anyway, just because he loves us so much. Now, I love reading. I mainly read biographies or autobiographies because I love reading about people's lives. And there's a story which is a bit of a favourite of mine. It's a great story. It's about a Russian general who lived back in sort of the early 1900s when Russia was experiencing a civil war, as the peasants, after years of oppression under this sort of Russian monarchy, were rising up and fighting back. And this Russian general is leading a band of revolutionary soldiers. Now, they're camping out in the forests. They're always on the run. They take their families with them, and as they go, more and more peasants join with them, trying to flee the Tsar's militia, the troops that are trying to kill them. Now, one evening, as they camp down for the night, a soldier comes to the Russian general to report that someone has been stealing food from the supplies. Now, this is a very serious offence. These people are on the run. They can only gather what they can gather as they go, and they are starving to death as more and more people join them. So the general ordered the soldier to find the thief and to have them whipped 30 times. Now, one week later, the soldier approaches the general again, and he reports that he has good news and he has bad news. The good news is, he said, we found the thief. The bad news is, sir, that it's your mother. Oh, you can imagine what the general's feeling at that moment, can't you? But the general replied, a crime has been committed, a punishment must be paid. And he commanded the soldier to have the whipping post set up. Gathering all the people together at the campsite, the general had his mother brought forward. As she stood before him, trembling with tears of shame streaming down her cheeks, he read aloud to the people her crime and her punishment. And as the soldiers moved forward to take his mother, to tie her to the whipping post, the general removed his own shirt and ordered his men to tie him there instead. You know, you can probably see why I love that story. It's moving, isn't it? To see this man take the punishment for his mother, taking the punishment so that she doesn't get what she deserves. Well, friends, we too have been given grace, and even greater than what we read in that story. You see, Jesus took our place. He took our punishment that we deserve so that we can be forgiven and come into a relationship with God. You know, this blows me away when I think about it, that God's love is so incredible and is so big that he would give us such grace. Jesus gives us what we as women, we as people really need. We get God. And best of all, it is sure to satisfy. Not just for this lifetime, but this guarantees eternal satisfaction. Now, we don't know how well Mary in our Bible passage understood this, but we can see that she knew she needed something, and she knew that listening to Jesus was the way to get it. I wonder who you identified with this morning when you first heard that story. Did you identify with Martha? Distracted by so many things that you're not seeing the one thing that you really need? Or did you identify with Mary, listening to Jesus, hearing he is the only one who can really give you what you need, a good and perfect relationship with God who made you and loves you so deeply? Well, think back for a moment, if you will, to that first answer you had in your mind when I asked you earlier what you really need. Is it a bigger house? Let's face it, a bigger house, more rooms to clean, and we'll just fill the rooms with junk anyway. A better husband? Hate to break it to you, but Mr. Darcy, he only exists in movies and in Jane Austen books. He's not real. Doesn't matter how perfect the husband is we get, there'll still be fights, there'll still be upsets. If it's not his fault, it'll be our fault. There's nothing in this world that will ever satisfy us. They may fix your short-term problem for a while, but they won't solve your eternal problem if you refuse to listen to Jesus and the relationship he offers us with God. Well, I started this morning by asking you to think about whether Jesus is worth listening to. Do you think he is when it comes to what women need? Well, you need to decide that for yourself. And I ask you, please don't take this decision lightly. Getting right with God, becoming a Christian, doesn't mean you'll get everything you've ever wanted. It's not like winning a multi-million dollar lottery where all your problems are solved and you can have everything you've ever dreamed of owning in this lifetime. There will still be hard times in life. In fact, being a Christian may make some things even harder for you in this lifetime. But let me say, it is so much better than winning the lottery. Or it's kind of like winning an eternal lottery, where you get what you most desperately need, God, a restored and good relationship with him right now and forever and ever. And I tell you what, that is greater than all the money in this world, than all the things we could ever have and buy in this world. Now, if you have listened to Jesus today and you know that you need him to make things right with God for you because you're not right with God, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do this morning. Now, some of you may not be in that position yet. Some of you might still want to find out a bit more. Some of you this morning may have listened and thought, well, I don't think he does have the answers for me. But if you've listened this morning and you've thought, yes, I know I need to get right with God. Jesus has given me the answers. This is what I need. I'm going to give you the opportunity to tell that to God now. I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a very simple, short prayer. There's nothing magical about it. It's just simply talking to God. But you know, it can be hard when we first decide to come to God to work out what to say. So I'm going to help you. I'll tell you the words that I'm going to pray so you can listen and think, are these the words I need to say to God? I'm going to say, Dear God, I'm so sorry for telling you to get lost and trying to run my own life. I know now that I need Jesus. Thank you for sending him to die for me. Thank you that Jesus took the punishment I deserve. Help me to live for you from now on. If these are words you know you need to say to God, why don't we do that now? I'm going to say it line by line. I'm going to leave space at the end of each line where you can just echo it just quietly in your mind to God, so that you'll have those words that you need to say. But I ask everyone, if they don't mind, just bowing our heads as I pray these words. Dear God, I'm so sorry for telling you to get lost and trying to run my own life. I know now that I need Jesus. Thank you for sending him to die for me. Thank you that Jesus took the punishment I deserve. Help me to live for you from now on.